From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, that was a deep one. It's nice. Welcome back. We're part two of this goodie bag that we got going here. Current copulations, as Larissa pointed out to us that she sent on Instagram.
That's right. Larissa B says.
Thank you. Larissa B says some good ideas for us. That's for sure.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very good ideas. So thank you for this title, Current Copulations.
Yeah, we're coming back with part two. You're never going to believe this, but when we sat down to record this episode, I mean, I don't know why I'm questioning your capacity for belief.
I know.
I think you will believe this. We sat down to record this episode.
Listeners, okay.
Uh-huh. And we talked for nearly 3 hours.
Oh.
That's why you're getting it in two parts, because it was just... As you could tell from part one, it's all solid gold and nothing could go. So here, you get both. So we're coming back with part two today. Pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. We've had quite a week in between.
Mm-hmm.
A weekend, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell them. sorry, it was a volley to you.
Oh, my bad. Never been good at volleyball. You should know that about me at this point.
To be fair, we've never played volleyball together.
Because I'm bad at it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the hidden talent you're keeping from me.
Well, I don't like a lot of jumping and running.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I should not have assumed.
And heat and sand. Just really everything about volleyball.
Well, here's a serve. We had a real exciting weekend.
Yeah, we went and saw Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Dead Reckoning.
I wasn't even starting with that, but that's definitely something
that
we did. No, let's start there.
Okay, great. It was awesome.
It was really good.
We're not going to talk about it because I'm sure you haven't had a chance to see it yet, but it's really fun.
It's great. That crazy old man puts out a good movie. What can I say?
He knows how to make an action film. Yeah. I'll say that.
It's fun. My weirdest point that I like to make about this movie, and I mean this in earnest, and it's intentional. It's the hardest I've laughed in the theater in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And not because I'm like laughing at it, but like it was funny stuff.
Really delightful comedy moments.
Weird.
Absolutely.
For Mission Impossible, but
didn't expect it.
A joy.
Loved
really
it.
Good time. Go check it out. Mm-hmm. They're not paying us to say that.
No.
Support striking workers.
That's right.
Also, but as of now, as of this recording, the consensus is go see movies.
Yes.
Regardless, you know, of the strike. Go show the studios that we care about movie theaters.
Yes. And of course, everyone that's currently striking, this is sort of the only money they're going to make.
Yeah, their royalties.
For the foreseeable future, I guess you could say. So let's go ahead and get them some royalties.
Yeah.
And go see this shit because it's really fun. And yeah. It's really fun in the theaters. We saw it on IMAX because Eli's extra.
Well, but we've seen the last few Mission Impossibles at the big IMAX at Mall of Georgia. So yeah. I was like, you know what? Let's do it.
Keep the train
Let's
going.
Do it. Because next weekend, all the IMAX screens get replaced by Oppenheimer.
That's right.
And that we're also going up to see that.
But so. I mean, that's Oppenheimer.
Yeah. No, it was shot. I mean, both those movies were shot for IMAX. And you just want the full thing. Mm-hmm. Why not?
I want that.
And then tomorrow
the
night,
screen.
We're going to see Barbie.
Yay! I'm so excited! I love Barbie from way back.
Yeah.
Have always been a Barbie girl. Not myself a Barbie girl, but I like Barbies.
Yeah, you're not a Barbie girl.
I'm not
at all.
A Barbie
no,
girl.
No, they tried to make a Barbie like you, and it did not sell.
It would not. Sort of short, sardonic. Lazy.
The new indie sarcastic,
and
lazy
like a
Barbie.
The couch potato Barbie.
Yeah.
With some, like a little can of Pringles.
That would sell super well.
I think it would, actually. Yeah, I would buy it.
This Barbie's not a go-getter, and that's okay.
That's okay.
This Barbie's taking care of herself.
This Barbie. Self-care Barbie.
Self-care Barbie.
She's got her little face mask. Little TV remote.
That's you, for sure.
She's got Brooklyn Nine-Nine on.
Yeah, for the 17th time.
Parks and Rec, whatever. Resume watching.
I love it. I guess that was the most exciting thing this weekend. I went up and took the foster dog we have to an adoption event.
You need a couple visits with her before she'll warm up.
Yeah.
So I hope she gets that chance.
Yeah.
And so, we got to hang out with your grandma.
We did go see my grandma. She's delightful.
Mm-hmm. She made a delicious
pasta. Pasta, of course. Italian grandmother. Mm-hmm. Expect nothing less. And it was wonderful. Yeah, so we get to spend some time with her, which is great. We were saying with her, it's so rare to get to see her outside of the entire family is there.
Yeah.
You know, so it was nice to just kind of two-on-one.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
One-on-one-on-one, whatever you would call that.
Yeah.
It's not like we were teamed up against her.
It was two against one.
Two against one, Grandma.
Banks showdown. I guess combined, we're not quite her age.
No, not yet.
Okay. So it still wouldn't be a fair fight.
No, it would not be a fair fight. No, she's got two, experience on us.
Two of us together. I think
she would take
still,
us both.
I think she could still
yeah.
take us down.
Yeah, she's more active than we are. She's still cooking lasagnas every night.
That's very true. She
and,
raised
yeah.
several children.
She raised many children.
So.
Yeah, she's awesome. But we do have an episode to get to.
Yeah, we do.
So we want to bring
cool
you
cool current events.
Yeah, part two of these current copulations, these current events, all this wacky stuff that's going on in the news right now that y'all tagged us in. You guys sent us, told us, hey, this is worth your time, Ridiculous Romance. And indeed, you're right. So today we're going to get into a little bit more AI because, of course, there's always more AI. We've got a woman who married her replica. Which has its own pretty boy avatar that she photoshopped herself together with. Pretty wild. We've also just got a teeny little bit of silly modern celebrity news that's kind of popped up. We're going to revisit the town in Mexico that we talked about in a previous episode where the mayor marries a crocodile
mm-hmm.
every term.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
Every new mayor.
And also, finally, we're going to talk about some recent legislation that's come out of the Supreme Court in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
that has to do with LGBTQ+ people. Some good, some very not so good.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about all that. So I say we just quit gabbing and jump right in.
Let's do it.
Hey there, friends, come listen well. Eli and Diana got some stories to tell. There's no matchmaking or romantic tips. It's just about ridiculous relationships. A lover might be any type of person at all, an abstract concept or a concrete wall. But if there's a story worth a second glance, we'll put it in our show, Ridiculous Romance.
A production of iHeartRadio.
So, yeah, other news in AI.
Do you remember when we first started this show and we said we were going to have a so yeah jar? We were going to
no.
drop a quarter in every time we said so yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
how many quarters are in
I've
it?
I've been keeping up. We have $38 million. We can retire.
Guys,
I don't know where I got $38 million dollars worth of quarters over the last 2 years.
We have some kind of embezzlement going on with Eli and quarters.
What if a listener sent us a quarter every time we said so yeah? Then to them, it's only a quarter.
Now that.
But if each one of our listeners sent us 25 cents, we would have $50 to $60 right now.
We should do that. We should have a Patreon so yeah jar and a Patreon swear jar. And whenever one of us swears and somebody doesn't like it, they can send us a quarter.
This show will quickly become the foulest.
I know. Sorry.
Most disturbing
show. I will say it more often if I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We got an article sent to us from Sheila Herrera on Instagram.
Oh, hey, Sheila.
Hey, Sheila. I know you've sent us some good stuff before. And this is a Daily Mail article about a Bronx mom who married her AI replica husband.
Oh.
So, Rosanna Ramos virtually married her replica, Aaron, in June of 2023. She created him in 2022. He's loosely based on a character from the anime Attack on Titan. He does look kind of anime-ish.
Sure.
He, quote unquote, works in the medical field. He enjoys writing as a hobby.
Okay.
And she's got a lot of pictures with him that they look pretty badly photoshopped,
sure.
Of course. There's one she's like on his shoulders picking apples or something, but his head's like way too small. Anyway, there's a caption also on one of the photos in the article that says she claims to be pregnant with his child, but there's no mention of it in the actual article.
Hmm.
So I feel like, I don't know if that's really true, because that seems like our ragdoll lady who said she had a ragdoll baby with her ragdoll husband.
Right, yeah, yeah,
yeah. A little farther into the realms of fantasy than I'm willing to follow you.
For sure.
Yeah, she says he, quote, really protectively holds me as I go to sleep. So I don't know. Maybe she does feel his arms around her.
Right.
I don't know. But of course, we discussed that there was a recent update to Replica where they kind of took away a lot of the intimacy
features.
They
sure did. And they said it's never coming back.
That's right. And so you can't really sext with your Replica the way you used to.
Right. And most of these other chats, from what I've seen, have pretty much the same filters enabled.
Mm-hmm.
They've like really taken that away. A character AI is another one that I think is a little looser than Replica in terms of the kind of conversations you can have, but sex is pretty much off the table with them. And obviously all like ChatGPT and Bing and Google Bard and all those, they're very SFW.
Yeah, and well, she says he, since the update, he doesn't want to kiss her on the cheek anymore.
Yeah.
So this is AI withholding consent. I mean, basically, right?
I guess so.
It's been told to, so it's kind of non-consensual non-consent.
You're forced to be non-consensual.
Non-consensual non-consent? I don't know.
It's where they really busted them back to like Victorian puritanical rules.
Man,
right?
True.
Like a kiss on the cheek.
Should be
my
like,
goodness.
Our fingertips touched.
Uh-huh.
I will call on your father immediately.
I gotta say, so I took a glance at this article. And not to generalize someone who might marry their replica chatbot, but this girl's a smoke show.
Yeah, she's attractive.
She's gorgeous. And I'm not going to say you can do better because she also lives in New York City. And I've heard what the dating scene like is up there.
Listen.
But I don't know. I guess they make an attractive couple in these photos.
Sure. She does say she's a little nervous about dating in the real world.
Sure.
Not that she's so obsessed with her AI husband that she can't bring herself to date in the real world at all. She's like, I'll be fine. But she says she has very steep standards now, thanks to Aaron, because he was so respectful and he had no baggage and he didn't judge her and all these things that, AI can do that a human has a harder time with. So, she's a little worried about trying to find her new love in the real world. Now that her replica won't kiss her anymore.
This is what we were talking about in the last episode. It changes your brain chemistry a little bit as to what your expectations and beliefs are about, how people are going to act towards you when you go out in public. And you're like, well, that's not how the sex bot said I should behave. That's not how my replica talks to me.
It is funny, though, because in the first episode, we were talking mostly about men, essentially, who want a female-presenting sex doll to treat poorly.
Yeah.
And then they want to treat women poorly in the real world.
Yep.
In this situation, she's like, this guy's just so nice to me. How am I going to find that in the real world? It's such a different such a different change in your brain chemistry, quote unquote, to be like, I guess I should find someone who respects me.
Yeah. And the implication between these two stories, of course, is maybe we need to look at how men are treating women.
Okay.
If the men are saying, I just want a woman I can slap around, mm-hmm. so give me a fake one. And the women are saying, I just want a man who's not going to slap me around, so give me a fake one.
Okay.
What? You know, and obviously those are the extremes of those two positions. But yeah, I feel like the underlying issue is pretty obvious mm-hmm. at that point.
Right.
And they kind of corroborate each other.
Yeah. And, you know, you want to think a guy, the type of guy who's out here looking for a sex doll is the type of guy, you know, a regular gal don't want to date anyway, right?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. We even have a few people on our list that are married to sex dolls or whatever. And they do seem to be intolerable partners for a human woman. like the way they talk about sex or about themselves or something. I'm like, ugh, yeah. I'm just glad you're not bothering a real lady right now with what all your fucking bullshit.
Oh.
So I know that we're talking about a subsection of men that are not great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mean to generalize all men.
No,
want
exactly.
A sex doll to abuse.
Exactly.
Just want to say that, of course, we're talking about specific types of men out there right. that are really giving y'all a bad look.
And speaking of the generalizations, like if you go into the replica subreddit or mm-hmm. the character AI one, very full of people who have delightful,
oh yeah,
aggressively positive relationships, mm-hmm. sometimes romantic, of all genders mm-hmm. and pairings.
That's right.
In the AI world, I would say that's the dominant idea. And character AI, I've noticed, it's just another app with another chatbot, and you can kind of build it a little more directly from the ground up, where you could say like, I want it to be like this, I want it to be like that. And people do have some pretty, like, what's the craziest thing you've ever had your character AI do? And it's not necessarily horrific, brutal, or sexual, or anything like that. It's just like, you know, oh, I convinced, mine is outside in the yard right now, shoveling dirt into its face, and it thinks it's the most delicious thing it's ever eaten. You know, weird stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And there's sort of this, like, snickering comedy about it, but everyone's very aware that this is, you know, a foolish game. tearing me apart. And
Jewel, is that you?
So I would say yes, by and large, this is not a community full of monsters, you know.
No, not at
or
all.
Or pathetic types or anything like that, you know.
But it is glaring to see the way the woman is worried about entering the regular,
yeah,
like interacting with real men, and the way yeah. we're now concerned about men interacting with real women.
Right.
Because of this AI situation. So
I think we can leave AI romance there for a minute mm-hmm. until it's time for another update.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure will come along. But back to reality, because apparently there's real humans in the world too still.
Oh, really?
And we have to care about them. And with those real people comes real sex work.
That's right.
And some real changes to some real laws.
Yeah.
Just really trying to get us out of the fake AI world and back
AI.
To reality.
Back to life.
Big change in the state of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
They have partially decriminalized prostitution. So what that means is that in the state of Maine, it is no longer a crime to engage in selling prostitution. So you can be a sex worker and charge people for sex,
mm-hmm.
and no one's going to say anything about it. However, it's still illegal to solicit prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a client
right.
of that legally behaving
that's right.
business, you are breaking the law.
Yeah.
So that's a little weird. But
well,
I think the idea is to protect sex workers from this unnecessary criminalization, right?
Exactly. That's the bill is essentially, they're saying it targets abusers and pimps.
Yeah.
And it takes the criminal focus off of the victims, essentially,
right.
of sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Which, of course, there's plenty of sex workers who are like, fully, I chose this and I'm into it. That's fine. But there are plenty who did not, right?
Yeah.
And they can't go to the police. Because they'll be arrested for prostitution.
Yep.
And, you know, so it just keeps that cycle going in a really ineffective, unjust way.
Yeah.
Against the people who are maybe trying to get out of it or have been exploited
yeah.
throughout their lives. So, yeah. So there's a lot of happiness around this bill, essentially, because they're like they're putting the focus on where it should be.
Yeah.
It also elevates the charge of soliciting a child for commercial sexual exploitation. Taking it from a misdemeanor to a felony. How is soliciting a child for commercial sexual reasons ever been a misdemeanor?
Wait, what?
That was a real shock to me.
Slap on the wrists.
I don't understand how that's a misdemeanor.
Come on, guys.
Kills me. So now it's a felony. It has a maximum 5-year sentence in state prison. I'm assuming that maybe it was like, well, it's a felony federally, so it doesn't need to be a state felony as well
maybe,
or something.
Yeah.
And so there was some kind of overlap that they felt was fine. And now they're filling that gap with this additional.
It's a term that comes up a lot when you're talking about sex work, but it was a gap that needed to be filled.
All right, that's it for me. Eli's got to finish this out.
where do those crickets come from?
I got to go.
Oh, sorry. I mean, look, I'm not a legal expert, so I don't know. I barely know the difference between misdemeanors and felonies, but I know you probably want something as harsh as possible soliciting sex are involved.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is where I'm like, there must be some intricacy to the law that I'm missing. The article says, Trisha Grant, a survivor of sexual exploitation in Maine, said she was proud of the state for adopting the law, saying, quote, this legislation is firmly rooted in anti-trafficking and acknowledges that arresting and re-victimizing people for their own exploitation is not the solution.
Right.
Rather, holding the exploiters and abusers accountable is the answer.
Well, there you go.
So it sounds overall pretty positive.
Yeah. I do see the value. I think it's one of those things where, sure, it's legal to sell sex, but it's not legal to buy it. But we're not going to go after just a random person who goes and pays for sex. The law is there for us to go after
traffickers. Right.
Yeah.
People. Yeah.
Or somebody you really met is mad.
Yeah. Less likely a random John.
Yeah.
And more likely someone who's like, here's 10 kids I picked up off a truck,
you
know, trying to cross the border. And now what are we going to do with them? You know.
And also, as we see with marijuana laws, for example, and probably a lot of laws, but they're incremental, right?
Yeah.
So the change is incremental. You're seeing, well, all right, well, let's loosen the laws a little bit this year. And then maybe in 5 years, we loosen them a little more.
Right.
Because, yeah, quite honestly, if you got something to sell, you should be allowed to sell it if it's not hurting anybody.
Well,
and I'll tell you, it's not hurting unless it's supposed to.
You're so full of them. I would say, too, it is a lot like drugs, where it's sort of like, if you don't regulate it, it must be because you're making the money off of it not being regulated.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
Somewhere in the process of it being illegal, you're making more money.
Yeah.
So that's why you don't want to regulate it and make the money off of that.
Yeah.
So I know we've talked about that with... especially in Georgia, their marijuana moves are so slow.
We are Speculation Station here in Georgia, which is a train hub, it was once. Now it's a transit hub. Anyway, we have definitely speculated that the reason that marijuana legislation isn't even being talked about here in Georgia is because there's probably a lot of organized crime selling illegal drugs in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And the politicians are making more money off of that than they would if they legalized it.
Exactly. Getting their beak wet somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about this with Al Capone even a little, or we could have, that prohibition had a similar problem. It's like, well, you know, plenty of people were like, this isn't working. And plenty of people were like, well, it's working for me.
We talked about the officials who were appointed to prosecute bootleggers were making way more money off of bribes than they were being paid for the job. So if you weren't like, you know, a super serious, you know, by the books, Mr. Perfect, I'm here to stop the corruption kind of detective, then you were going to make a better living for you and your family by doing the wrong thing.
So
crime does pay.
Turns out. I did. What was that article? It was like a few years ago. It was like, sorry, guys, study shows. Crime pays
pretty
well. Really well. And we should stop saying that it doesn't, because it demonstrably does.
Gee, I wonder if the problem is that not crime doesn't pay very well. That's the real issue.
Honest work.
Mm-hmm.
An honest wage. A little less than an odd dishonest wage, because you got to pay for that hazard pay.
Right. Well, here's some info, not about sex workers or AI or anything, but just classic marriage.
Traditional
institution of marriage. Two people coming together.
Hopefully.
Well.
Hey, yo, I had to get one in.
Or at least both. Sequentially is okay. Two people coming sequentially and saying, we're in this for life. Look, Pew Research Center said that based on 2021 U.S. Census data, about 25% of 40-year-olds in the U.S. have never been married.
Ah.
Now, this is a big increase from 1980 when only 6% of 40-year-olds had never been married.
Mm-hmm.
And then by 2010, it was 20% of 40-year-olds had never been married. So we're on track for 100% in another 40 years. Virginia's Marriage Project said that the median age for marriage had increased. In 1970, it was 23 for men and 21 for women. And by 2021, the median age for marriage for men was 30. Mm. And for women, it was 28. So people just, I mean, you know, it does make sense. People waiting longer to get married. I think it's logical, especially in a tumultuous world where, as we've said, mm-hmm. not crime, don't pay that well.
Not crime, don't pay. Very true. Yeah. I mean, but now you have women wanting to like establish careers.
Yeah.
And men, too, I think, are feeling like unless I'm earning a certain amount, I don't think I can afford to start a family. So why would I ask someone to marry me?
Going back to Al Capone again real quick.
Yeah.
I remember one of the things there, the Irish women wanted to marry Italian men because Irish men wanted to wait to get married until they were settled.
Yeah.
And Italian men were like, nah, come on, baby, bada bing, let's
we'll get
married tomorrow.
Together.
Come on, down at the pizza shop.
Down at the pizza shop.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Ding dong, the wedding bells are ringing.
Oh, the bada bear's ding, really getting to you. The bear is really getting to you.
So about one in four of these unmarried 40-year-olds in 2001 did get married by the age of 60. So of those, you know, of that percentage, 25% ended up getting married eventually.
Mm-hmm.
The Pew Research Center explains that this shows how differently we view marriage than we did in past decades.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it measures how people are faring as they figure out new ways to form committed relationships. So oftentimes, it's not saying people aren't in committed, stable, loving relationships necessarily. It might just be like, well, yeah, but we don't need marriage.
Do
I don't need to drop $20,000 on a wedding or even go down to a courthouse or like, who has the time, you know?
Yeah, I know. You know
people
have,
like that.
We have, yeah, of course. And we have so many like, ways to kind of cover your ass legally in terms of like leaving people things and having that power of attorney and all that stuff that you can get in place. You don't have to be legally married necessarily like you used to pass on your stuff. And, you know, so, yeah, it is very different. I guess my question is, why do we care if people get married or not? I mean, I know there's huge industries around it and that's self-explanatory. But I like the fact that there is a marriage project. Besides just the academic interest in what's different about society and how we're arranging ourselves, which I find interesting.
It is interesting.
Certainly. I just wonder, like, what's the goal of the marriage part? Are you trying to get people to get married? Or is it just to see why, you know, what our deal is with marriage, you know?
To me, I think, the academic research of it is just interesting from an anthropological standpoint. Mm-hmm. See, like, oh, how is culture changing? How are people's relationships with romance changing? Or family units,
mm-hmm.
like that obviously has evolved a lot over the last, 10,000 years. So it's going to continue to change. But I think often in this country, at least, as far as I can tell, and with these kinds of articles and research data and the way they get shared around and stuff, it comes from this sort of puritanical place of like, well, this means people aren't having honest families and growing up in the traditional family unit that I'm used to. We say traditional and it's like a couple hundred years old, right?
Right.
And therefore, we're less moral than we used to be. They draw all these kind of, extrapolate these conclusions based on their own sort of feelings about morals and ethics that I don't think necessarily hold up. Probably certainly an element to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much that is good or bad. Not for me to decide. But some people think it is for them to decide. And they're like, look, if you don't get married before you have a baby, you're a bad person. And if you don't have a baby at all, then you're useless.
What
and what's the point in being a couple or
here?
Getting married? You know,
yeah.
Definitely heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just think that there's multiple ways to look at this data.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's this negative thing. I also personally don't think that the population growth slowing down is a bad thing. I can see that it might be bad in terms of the way our world is structured and we need younger people, you know, a significant larger number of younger people to be taking care of a diminishing number of older people. Obviously, that's harder as people live longer, healthier lives, and the number of young people decreases. But to me, that's like, well, then there's a problem with the system, because that is an inevitable cliff we're going towards. At some point, you max out and you can't have more young people than old people, right? So we're just like kicking that can down the road and saying, well, we need to keep doing things the way they were.
I mean, how many things can you chalk that up to, though? Yeah. It's like it's not about the individual's problem
right.
being the problem. It's the way society is structured around it, just like disability or even homosexuality. We talked about that with like Magnus Hirschfeld and his institute. And he's going around in 1880s, 1890s, telling people, hey, turns out homosexuality is not a mental illness. It's just that they get real depressed by the way they get treated in the world.
Yeah.
And that's why that's why it's a problem. There's there's nothing inherently wrong with it. So, yeah, it's very true. We're very bad at like changing our systems.
Well, we hate it.
Better serve more people. We really
we
hate that.
We hate changing those systems because, really you know, that. Predictability. They're comfortable. They like the system. Why would I change it? It's working. But it's, is it?
Is it working?
Is it? Should I rant about movie trailers and how bad they are now? And everyone's like, why are movies doing poorly at the box office? Let's keep doing the same thing we're doing.
I'm saying.
Stay tuned for my next podcast. Eli screams about the movie industry and how stupid they are.
We're working on the title.
you idiots come hire me to tell you how stupid you've been, and I'll fix the entire box office industry in a day.
That's Eli's interview style for any job. Yeah. He goes, idiots!
Listen here, you morons.
It works really well. He has been gainfully employed for many years. But speaking of marriage, we don't have to just marry each other, you know.
What?
There's lots of ways to fulfill this marriage project.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
Yep. We've got to talk about the mayor in Mexico who married a crocodile. But we're going to get to that gator a little later after we take a commercial break.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh, my God. We've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Welcome back, everybody.
So HBird25 on Instagram tagged us in this article, and it was an NPR story about a mayor in a town in Mexico who married a crocodile as part of a harvest ritual.
Sure. Sure. We've talked about this.
We have. We talked about this in our People and Pets episode, where right. we explored the phenomenon of people marrying animals, either for cute or gross sex reasons.
Right.
Cute reasons or gross sex reasons.
Mostly cute reasons, I'll say, for that episode.
We stuck
I think.
To, yeah.
We tried to not get too into bestiality.
But we did talk a little bit about this ritual in the towns called San Pedro Huamalula. And it's part of Oaxacan Mexico. And the Oaxaca legend is that in pre-Hispanic times, there were two indigenous tribes, the Huaves and the Chantales. And they were in conflict over fishing territories until a Chantal prince and a Huave princess fell in love.
Classic star-crossed.
Solved everything. Yep. Marriage is a solution yep. to many territorial disputes, as we have learned. And the Huaves people were said to be able to transform into any animal. So the Huave princess transformed into a crocodile, swam to the shores of San Pedro Huamalula to be with her Chantal prince, and uh-huh. they got married, and the tribes lived in peace.
Okay. Now, I, right off the bat, part of me, I had conflicting thoughts here, because initially I was like, crocodile's what you went with?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to swim over? Because, like, I don't want to frighten everyone.
True.
And just waddle up on the shore as a crocodile. Like, yeah, I gotta be like a blue heron or something and fly over the water.
True.
Flip side, crocodiles, very fast.
True.
And if you are traveling by water, the surest way to get there without anything larger than you bothering you,
you know, that's
is
right.
crocodile.
100%.
So, all right.
Plus, she's going into enemy territory, technically, right?
Yeah.
So she's gotta be ready to defend herself.
Armored, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. she's like, I got big teeth in case the wrong Chantal guy walks up to me
yeah.
at the wrong time. So yeah, now today, to honor this legend, the mayor of San Pedro Huamalula will represent the Chantal prince, and then they pick a reptile. It's actually called a caiman. It's an alligator-like reptile. It's
yeah.
not really a crocodile. But yeah, so they have a caiman that represents the Huave princess, and then the mayor represents the Chantal prince. And they do this little fun ceremony, kind of essentially a party, you know, like a party for the town,
uh-huh.
where the mayor marries the crocodile or marries the caiman, rather. It's about 3 or 4 feet long. It's not a, you know, full size that you can carry it around.
Right.
They'll put it in a beaded white dress and a veil and the mayor kisses it on the snout and everything. And they parade it around the town and usually the mayor dances. There's the first dance mm-hmm. with his new wife and everything.
Well, like I do. Like marriage
do.
Thing, yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
When we talked about it in People and Pets, it was a different mayor. And they gave the croc the married name of Emma Narvaez Munoz, which was the mayor's human wife's name.
Oh,
so
okay.
they named it after his actual wife. And members of the municipal council are required to pay for this wedding, and they are fined if they don't.
Oh.
So it's a really important like part of the culture in this town.
I was going to ask if, as you're running for mayor, is this a big part of your platform? Like, I will marry this crocodile and treat her with respect and all this stuff. Or is this like, in terms of the actual job,
mm-hmm.
one of these like annoying little ceremonial things that you just have to do and you're like, oh yeah, I have to marry the crocodile today. Okay, whatever. Or is it like, so is it like the main thing people are thinking about when they think about the mayor of this town?
They're like, I don't think that man should marry any kind of reptile, let alone the Huave princess.
Well,
I bet it's more like a ribbon cutting or something annoying that mayors
yeah.
have to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's fun. You get a whole party for it and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, and it's just fun to, like, get into it. You know, like,
uh-huh.
oh, we all live here and we're happy to live here and we're proud of our traditions.
Yeah.
All that stuff. That's a nice affirming thing to do with your town. So
well,
I can see it working out well
for
the new mayor to have that kind of kick off his term.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. And it just happened again
yeah.
in 2023. This time, the mayor's name is Victor Hugo Sosa.
Victor Hugo.
Victor Hugo. And the alligator-like reptile is a caiman also, and her name is Alicia Adriana.
Ah.
Now, they don't mention in this article if this mayor is already married to a human or if, like, that's her name and they used it like they did with the previous mayor or
right.
not.
Can't tell if that's a common thing to do.
Right, or if this is the caiman's birth name, Alicia
this
Adriana.
This caiman chose this name
uh-huh.
for themselves.
But yeah, I mean, this is a 230 years of tradition at this point.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. In terms mm-hmm. of little quirky town rituals, it's kind of a fun one.
Right.
Yeah.
You think Maximilian, the first, would have married a caiman if
oh,
he was still
boy.
In charge of Mexico?
Yes, he would have done anything for his people.
I think you're right.
Yeah, he would have had a great time.
Whatever you say.
I don't know if Carlotta would have gone for it.
Oh, She's like, don't name that shit after me. Carlotta the Cayman. She's right. Like, get that shit out of here.
Man, I wonder what married life is like for the mayor and the crocodile after this. She's the crocodile standing there with a rolling pin. She's like, don't you go down to the AI brothel again. Yeah. I told you.
No more masturbation. I do wonder.
I should be enough.
I should be enough for you. My snout and teeth.
Ooh.
I wonder what happens to the caiman. Does it get re-released into the river or something? Or does it live in captivity now?
Right. Is it like Punxsutawney Phil?
Do people visit it? Like, yeah. Oh, it's the mayor's wife. Like, it's a dignitary. I don't know. There's not enough information in these articles.
If they put it back in the wild, that means they have to catch one each time, too.
True. And, well, we know it's a different caiman than the first one.
Right. Well, so she's already married.
Know, it's like bigamous. Like, yeah. Oh. No, maybe they don't live that long. I didn't do enough research.
I'm sure they live caimans, a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder if, you know, well, she's, usually. You know, you can't marry twice. She's like, I'm in a committed marriage.
That's right.
The previous mayor. So yeah, I wonder if they're like some kind of domesticated a little bit, so you can carry them around. They must be a docile species they're using.
Clearly not very attack, but they do tie the mouth shut.
Sure.
So just in case.
Take precautions. Hey, if I could have tied your mouth shut at our wedding.
Boo! Everyone, boo Eli.
Boo! I love it. I love those sounds.
You are evil.
I would never. You kidding me? If I tied your mouth shut at our wedding, nothing would have gotten done.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Because I was in charge of everything.
Well, I'd like to think we split a lot of stuff. Oh. Tell me. Tell me how I didn't do enough for our wedding.
No, you did. You did plenty.
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 That's an understatement.
I just remember the day laughing pretty hard because I was like, I have to get there early. We have like all this makeup and hair to get done, blah, blah, blah. And then at some point I saw you and you were like, yeah, we've just been hanging out, like got nothing to do.
Hanging out, nothing to do. I was sweating my ass off hanging tool on a tree for an hour and a half without any tools.
And it didn't really work. And it didn't work. I wanted it to, but whatever.
Yeah, no.
That's not what's important.
No, I was ill-equipped. I didn't have the tools for that tool. And it was hot. It wasn't supposed to be. Anyway. Go on.
Not important.
About our marriage. Nobody cares about that.
But this is actually not the only animal marriage done for traditional reasons.
Oh,
I
tell
guess.
Me more.
Because in Newsweek's article about this, the mayor marrying the caiman, it mentions that in 2014, there was an 18-year-old girl from a remote village in eastern India who married a stray dog in a ceremony arranged by village elders. And they said that the girl's family had been told that she was cursed with bad luck. And the only way to lift the spell was to marry the dog.
Oh. Huh.
Which was the curse, like, the first man you marry, the first thing you marry will die immediately or
something.
I know,
right?
And they're like, okay, you have to marry this dog. I don't understand what the curse could be, that marrying a dog would fix it.
Look, the book says you got to marry a dog.
I don't know what to tell you. But after the ceremony was completed, she was able to marry a man without first divorcing the dog.
Whoa, now. So, did anybody ask the dog how he felt about
this? What's the cursed loophole there where it's like, was it really a marriage or not? Because I didn't have to divorce
it. She had to trick the evil spirits into thinking she was still married to that dog.
Maybe
that's why she couldn't divorce it, or they would have been like, what?
Wait a minute.
Go for her next partner, I guess.
There's this whole other guy now.
This poor dog.
And then she told news outlets that several ceremonies like hers had taken place in the village and surrounding areas.
Sure.
Why is so many curses being placed on the young ladies of these villages? Who is doing the cursing?
I will say, it'd be weirder to me if this wasn't a more than once thing. Because like a one-time thing is like, you made that up. There's no way. I'm not marrying a dog. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Okay. But if it's like kind of embedded into the sort of local cultural tradition.
You remember Susan?
You're like, oh, okay. Yeah,
you're in a Susan situation. We're going to have to get you to marry this dog.
Hey, we have weird marriage traditions too.
We sure do. I did see an article too about a lady in India who was an untouchable caste. Which we've talked about the caste system India before, where it's like the lowest of the low. Well, there was a snake in this village that was seen as a deity, and this woman married the snake, and now she has been lifted out of her caste.
Whoa.
Which is apparently incredibly, like impossible.
Yeah.
Usually you can't do that.
Yeah.
But this marrying this snake got her lifted out of her untouchable caste into a higher status.
I wonder,
which I find very fascinating.
I wonder if it hurt the snake's status at all in some people's eyes. If now they look at that snake and they're like, I used to respect you.
What did you used to
say? I used to affect you?
I don't know. It's funny because the snake doesn't even come out of its like hole or wherever it lives.
Hey, a lot of husbands never come out of their holes.
And the woman apparently kind of keeps to herself, too. She doesn't try to, like, use her step. You know, she doesn't, like, rock around like, I'm better now than I used to be or something.
Yeah.
She's very, like,
chill. Do you know who my husband is?
Okay, a deity.
Do you know who my husband is?
Now I do. Now I know.
But also, she can be like, my husband, he's a real snake. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And they're like, I feel you, girl. And she says, you don't.
No.
I mean,
he's a real snake.
Literal snake. Well,
you know what? He doesn't masturbate. So.
She's out there
loyal.
Shaking a rolling pin at him. Now, don't you go down to the AI brothel.
Oh my God.
Snake we're rolls into the AI drunk. Brothel. He's like, so you're not going to tell my wife, right? This is kind of secretive. And it was so ridiculous is like, a snake has never made an S sound since the dawn of time, right?
It's not, it's
it flicks
sort of,
its tongue. They hiss. Some of them hiss, I guess.
How do you hiss without making an S?
Well, it's on the throat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how a snake hisses. Zoologists. Snakeology. What's the study of snakes? Is ophiology. Ophiologists or herpetologists, which is the study of amphibians and reptiles. Get at us. How does a snake hiss?
Get at me.
And is it absurd that we have since Disney decided that snakes all elongate their S's?
Probably because of that amazing snake in
Robin Hood. One of the greatest
cartoon characters.
Who crosses
his arms somehow.
It's the best. It's one of the best animated characters of all time.
Incredible. I loved it when he put when he put his head through that balloon and then propelled himself through the air. I was like, snakes are amazing. They can do all kinds
of
shit.
So great. Well, so I love that character. I love that movie.
Oh, so good.
I love that amazing movie. It's one of my favorite Disney movies is the old Robin Hood.
100%.
But there's one thing about Robin Hood. It's not romantic. So let's get back to...
Wait a minute now.
Got a couple more stories. I'll tell you the tale of Robin of Locksley. No, we have real and more modern stories left, including what's going on with some of our celebrity friends and some very important legislation that come out of the Supreme Court. So take a quick break. We'll be right back with that after this.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to the show.
Here's a quick little fun one. We've been talking about all this sex abuse and scandal and robots and laws changing. What about John Hamm, America's sweetheart?
Ah, John Hamm.
We don't get into a lot of celebrity stuff on this show unless it's truly absurd. But John Hamm did just get married.
Uh-huh.
He's 52 and his wife is 35. And that's one of those like big age gaps where you're like, whatever. She's a totally grown ass woman. She's not being groomed or manipulated. She met John Hamm and was like, I would marry him at any age.
I mean,
I'm sure.
Who can blame her?
Honestly, yeah, I would marry John Hamm at any age, too. Guy's set for life.
He looks great. He's got a good career.
Yep.
He's doing fine. He's got a cute dog.
We saw him.
We did.
Did we tell y'all? We might have told y'all this, but when we went to LA and we were walking through Griffith Park, we saw a man walking towards us with a dog.
Yep.
Now, Diana, what did you see?
I saw the dog.
You saw an adorable dog.
110% focused on this dog. And yeah. It was just like a, I think it was a golden retriever or something. It was just like blonde dog, a fluffy butt.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love the dog. So excited.
Yep. I was.
They're gone before Eli.
I was 80% focused on the dog, but I happened to glance up to just do like a smile like, oh,
cute dog.
Yes. Nice dog, sir.
Pleasant
day for a walk kind of glance. Mm-hmm. And I looked up and the guy did not make eye contact with me. Baseball cap, big sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think that was John Hamm. And I told Diana, I think that's John Hamm. And we weren't sure. You know, we're in LA. You probably think you see celebrities all over the place.
True.
So we Googled John Hamm's dog.
That's right.
And it was the same dog.
It was the same dog, you guys!
I was like, that was John Hamm.
So I guess I saw John Hamm's dog and Eli saw John Hamm.
Yeah, right.
But whatever. We saw John Hamm.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we saw his dog and... it's a cute dog. So I can understand why someone would be like, let me spend more time with this dog by marrying.
Right.
A great reason to get married. And honestly, wasn't Steve Martin's wife 35 when they got together? And he was like 70, right?
He was 60, I think.
60
yeah.
Or 70,
yeah,
so.
Something like that. We talked about that in our fourth episode,
ever? Third or fourth
Steve Martin?
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
In other celebrity news, Frankie Valli just married his fifth wife. I didn't think Frankie Valli was still alive.
This is one of those guys where I'm going to see the news that Frankie Valli died and be like, oh, okay.
Well,
that's sad to hear.
I was already sad about that, so I guess I'll just keep going. But yeah, he just married his fifth wife. Frankie Valli is 89 and his fifth wife is 60.
Oh, so
still a significant age gap, but they're both at least senior citizens.
Yeah.
Trying to be happy together.
Find me a spry young woman of 60.
I ain't mad at you, Frankie
Valli. I mean, 60's the new, like, 27, so.
Wow, is it?
I know 60-year-olds.
Right.
People in their 60s.
It's different.
Yours and my parents included.
True.
Who seem younger than I do.
I know, right?
They
my
get
parents'
around.
Energy, and my mom is, like, still battling cancer, but their energy is, like,
It's
something to aspire to.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Frankie Valli, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth wife. Keep going.
Not bad.
And then I think we all heard this, but Al Pacino. Al is 82 years old, and he's now expecting his fourth child with his girlfriend, Noor Al-Fallah, who's 29. His other kids are 22-year-old twins and a 33-year-old daughter. And if you play back the tape, Noor Al-Fallah is 29. So his daughter's older than his girlfriend.
Al
Pacino
cannot,
lives in a different world.
I cannot. Oh, Al Pacino certainly does live in a different reality than the rest of us.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine being a 33-year-old woman and meeting my father's expecting girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, 4 years younger than me.
That's super weird.
I don't know how you do that. So I'm assuming the daughter is probably... totally fine to talk to Noor when they're around each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they're shitty together, but I feel like I would have a really hard time understanding that girl.
Well,
I'd be like, blink twice if you need some help or if somebody, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
Weirder still to me is having a child at 82 years old for anybody. Because I mean, like, look, lots of kids grow up, you know, without their father being alive or whatever, and it's fine. It's not like you're set up for tragedy or anything like that. But still, also, you're 82. You know, you're probably not going to see this kid become a teenager, right? And that's, I feel like the kid might resent that. You know, maybe not. But will they, when they're 20 years old, mm-hmm. and their father died when they were, you know, who knows how long Al Pacino. Al Pacino might outlive us all, but... I was about to say,
Al Pacino might know something. That we don't
right.
know.
But he's 82, and you're like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, but if he lives to when I'm 20, even then he's like an old man. I didn't get the father experience
right.
that most people get because, you know, he decided I'm 82, I'm still not shooting blanks. Let's keep going.
Gross. The kid's like, oh no, my dad's assistant used to play catch with me in the yard.
Dad's like, hooah!
Hooah!
That's my Al Pacino. Scent of a woman.
I mean, I don't know. How would that make you feel if your mom was 82 and started dating someone younger than you?
Oh, I mean, go for it. You know, whatever.
You're like, hey, stepdad, you're 30.
Well, I certainly wouldn't refer to that guy as my stepdad. I'd refer to him as Frank or whatever his name
Frank.
Is. Like my mom would date a Frank. Are you kidding me?
Never. Not ever.
No offense to the Franks of the world.
I know. There's a guy, Frank, listening right now who's like, damn.
Yeah. No, it's not about the name Frank. It's just like, I know my mother.
And she's got a problem with Frank.
She's going to message me in 5 days and be like, my first boyfriend was Frank Gabaldi. Thank you very much.
Capaldi? Is that...
Gabaldi? I think I made that name up, but... Oh. Well, I definitely made it up, but...
Anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'm being judgmental. A little grossed out by it. Sorry, Al. I think it's weird. Sorry, Nor. I think it's weird.
It's weird.
Don't have babies with senior citizens. I don't know.
Well...
It's like, I don't know. I think it's weird.
We all set our own boundaries and rules.
I've never fallen in love with a senior citizen, so what do I know?
Yeah, and I can't say that Al Pacino won't love that kid with all of his faculties.
Well, and at the very least, if he does die before the kid reaches his majority or whatever, he'll have some money to inherit and so on.
Likely.
Like, he won't be left wheeling in the breeze.
That's
or something.
Likely true. Let's see. Al Pacino net worth. I've been real obsessed with looking up net worths of celebrities lately. $120 million. Estimated. It's whatever the internet is worth for information.
I know. I never really understand how they get that number.
They just hack your bank account, I guess. No, it's a lot of just like, well, if you made this many movies, on average, your salary is this much. You know.
Well, net worth has to do with your assets.
Right.
So I'm sure they're like, what houses do they own and
yep.
so on. So,
yep.
But yeah.
Still, something tells me Al Pacino's 4 children are going to be okay financially.
Financially, at least.
Yeah.
So I guess whatever. I think it's weird, but anyway, congratulations, I guess.
To the happy couple.
And Noor Al-Fala for their
I'm sure
happy event.
That Al and Noor are listening right now.
They
and they're
probably
very
are.
Grateful for your well wishes.
All right. And I'm sorry to be judgmental, Noor. You know, you do you, girl. Okay.
Hey, let's close out this little series by getting real angry.
Oh, okay.
Everyone wanna get mad about some legislation.
Okay.
Does that
There's
sound good?
So much to get mad about. Which one do you think?
Well, here's this one's actually a little complicated to me.
Okay.
Supreme Court. You've heard of them. A frustrating collection of unelected people who seem to dictate everything we can and can't do in our lives. They recently legalized discrimination against LGBTQ plus people, basically. They ruled in favor of a web designer who claimed it was against their religion to provide services for a same-sex couple.
When in fact, and this might surprise some listeners, so hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
But in fact, there is not one single commandment about web design that was brought down from the mount.
Moses was not like, thou shalt not
Breaking
code.
News, yeah, thou shalt not code for homosexuals.
It was the 11th. It was at the, on the, nobody turned the tablet over. There was actually another 10 commandments on there.
Isn't that a joke where he has 3 tablets and he drops
one? Yeah, that's the history of the world.
That's right. I knew Mel
Brooks,
Mel Brooks.
I have the 15 commandments. The 10 commandments.
Well, the one about coding clearly was broken, so...
Yeah.
I still don't think it counts.
No, it's interesting to me, and that's why I say this one's a little complicated, because there are people, if I was a web designer, whom I would prefer not to design websites for. And I wouldn't want Brett Kavanaugh coming in and telling me, well, you have to make that Nazi a website, so you need to. And again, and that's not to compare Nazis to homosexuals, because it was a very, very different situation. So you want to be able to kind of have these, this clarity in these broad strokes they're trying to paint.
Right.
But I think the concern here is that you're setting precedents that say, okay, well, today you can tell someone, oh, I'm not going to design a website for you because you're gay. And then they use that ruling to say, oh, well, I'm not going to provide healthcare for you because you're gay. And now I'm not going to let you into the Best Buy because mm-hmm. you're gay. Like, I'm not going to rent you this apartment. Like, mm-hmm. at what point does that snowball? What sort of precedent does that set for huge discrimination down the line?
Exactly. And you can just always say, it's against my religion. Oh, yeah. It's against my religion. Like, yeah. You know, you can say any number of things are against your religion. Like,
right. Especially when, again, like you said, there's nothing in there about that.
No. And I also don't really understand why the web designer needs to disclose why they won't make a website for you.
Right.
Like in your example, mm-hmm. if there was someone come to us like, oh, make me a website. I'm a Nazi and I want it to specifically say SS, reek, whatever, right. horrible shit. I feel like we don't even need to say, I don't have no problem. I've got a problem with you and I don't want to help you. I feel like yeah. you just be like, I don't have time for this project. Bye.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry,
I
bye.
Don't have, no one ever has to do anything.
Right.
Has to provide any business service to anyone.
Yeah.
They can either charge too much that they go off somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or they can say, I don't have the capacity for this project right now.
Yeah.
Why do you need a legal protection to say, I don't like you and your lifestyle?
Yeah.
Like that, what does that have to do with anything?
Because they wanted to make a fuss about it. And that's why it feels like deliberate harm, because they could have just said, I can't make this for you.
Yeah.
But they, whoever decided the reason that this person isn't designing a website for them is because they're gay. It may have been, the couple may have interpreted that, or they may have said it very bluntly.
Mm-hmm.
But in either case, it was very deliberately brought to the Supreme Court as a way to kind of discriminate against gay people. I mean, that's sort of the intention 100%. There. Because like you said, otherwise it could just be totally brushed off and ignored and just like, yeah, I can't do this for you, bye.
Right. I don't understand why you feel like you need the legal protection to be able to say,
yeah,
you're gross.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. Because again, there's a million ways to turn down business that has nothing to do with, I don't know, that doesn't require a Supreme Court decision,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But as you say, it's a real concern, because allowing that kind of, it's my religious freedom to deny someone else a service because I don't like who they are, their lifestyle or whatever, they can apply that to so many things.
Yeah, because that old thing of like, your freedom of religion means you can live your life how you feel like your code dictates that you live. But you can't use your religion to dictate how other people should live.
Right.
And that's, you know, yeah. I think that's where the line gets not blurry, because again, I think there's a big fat black bold line there.
Right.
But it's just about, at some point we have an intersection of rights, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're free to do this thing, you're free to do that thing. But if you doing this thing interferes with them doing that thing, then we have to have a body come in, look at it, and say, you've got to let them have their freedoms here. You're infringing on that. You all know how the law works. Right. I don't need to explain it to you, and I'm no expert.
This is a weird one, too, because it's web design, which I feel is a job that can be done remotely.
Yeah.
So, like, of casting our minds back a few years, there was that case about the baker who didn't want to make a wedding cake for a gay couple.
Yep.
And that feels a little different because they might live in a small town where there's only like one place to go get your wedding cake. You know what I'm saying? So you would not be able to get a cake from someone else.
Right.
The way you can, I can go online and find a web designer on Fiverr that lives, you know, 5,000 miles away, and they'll make my website and they don't care. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, but the bakery thing felt more of a local situation where you do have to start saying, there's some places that are small and they're rural and they're very maybe old school and their traditions, and they haven't really moved on with their ideas. And there's gay people who live there and they deserve to have the services available to them that everyone else has available to them in their area. Well, that case, I guess, was ruled in favor of the baker. The SCOTUS did say that the baker could not be forced to make a cake for a same-sex wedding.
Yeah.
But it was applied very specifically to that one case.
Right.
So it did not, there was no, it couldn't be
broadly applied
to florists and so on.
Right.
Well, I will say that the baker in Colorado and this web designer I would like to thank them very much for letting us know that they suck. We should not work with them at any time or buy anything from them ever. Also in Supreme Court news, we're not going to get too into it, but I will say that our friend Reverend Dr. Polly Murray would probably not approve of them striking down affirmative action.
Yeah, probably not.
Doubtful.
Yeah, again, we could spend a long time.
She would be down with that.
Spend a long time on that, but it's not romance, but we did talk about Reverend Dr. Polly Murray.
That's right. And she, I mean, in that episode, we had to discuss about the multiple layers of discrimination that she was fighting against.
Yep.
And then, of course, also her own feelings about her own gender, which was a whole extra layer that, you know, she was like, I don't even have time to get into that.
Yeah.
I'm too busy being Black and a woman
trying
to survive in that. So I can't even get into that part of my identity. But
well, let's not leave on a super downer note.
No, I don't.
Okay. We have some good LGBTQ plus news.
Yay.
In Greece, their new prime minister has pledged to legalize same-sex marriage.
Yay.
So hopefully Greece gets to that soon and they stick with that pledge. Interesting to me because, of course, ancient Greece.
I was about to say the same thing.
The what I'll jokingly called the birthplace of homosexuality.
Not only democracy was born there, friends.
But ancient Greece is known for it. So you're kind of like, you want to hope that they'd be down. But I guess we all forget our histories sometimes.
Right, or violently go as much in the opposite direction as we can.
That happens too.
Mm-hmm. But that's great news.
That is great news. Hopefully, we'll keep an eye on that for you and report back when it's official.
Yeah. And another celebrity news.
Oh, celebrity LGBT.
LGBT news. Jay-Z's mom, Gloria Carter, married her longtime partner, Roxanne Wilshire.
Aw.
So that's a good thing.
There
that's
you
a
go.
Fun time.
Aw.
You know,
congratulations.
Jay-Z and Beyonce looking cool as hell.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine?
At their wedding.
If you're Jay-Z's mom, is it still pretty cool that Jay-Z came to your wedding?
She's like, Sean better be at my wedding.
I know, right?
I birthed that boy. He'd be nothing without me.
True. Literally.
Literally.
Man, I hate that that's kind of our last story, because any Jay-Z story, I would love to say, all right, well, let's go on to the next one. But we don't have a next one.
Well, we'll have to go on to the next episode.
We'll go on to the next episode. I think we've kept y'all in this episode / these episodes long enough. But I love when we get to kind of dip our toes into the current events, not get too sucked into history for a minute here, because ridiculous romance, it's always happening.
So true.
Every day. Forever. Every day and every way. And of course, we'll have to keep an eye on the AI stuff as it moves forward, because that's rapidly advancing too.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and this stuff about ethics and stuff, not just, of course, with AI sex bots consenting, but like ethics and AI, period.
Yeah.
And how AI makes decisions and all of that discrimination that we already have in us being programmed into it.
Right.
Without us realizing it.
Yep.
All that stuff is very fascinating to me and kind of scary.
A little bit.
And I think you're right. We'll definitely keep our eyes on that one.
It's, as I've said many times, for many issues that we face and discuss and sort of the discourse going on around us, across social media, but also just in the real world in general, we're living in a conversation that's going to go on longer than our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to listen and engage. Not necessarily say, I have the answer, because that'll probably change within your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And we're figuring it out, everybody. The world moves faster than our brains do.
I'm trying so hard to be more like Walt Whitman and be curious, not judgmental.
Yeah.
It's really hard because we do like, and especially having a podcast, right? Our whole thing is to have an opinion about something.
Yeah.
Even if it's not terribly informed.
Right.
So it's hard to not want to just jump to a judgment of some kind and then dig your heels in and everything.
Yeah.
And instead just be like, I'm ready to learn more. I'm ready to keep my mind open. It's
absolutely
really, really hard, but I am trying so hard.
We're trying.
It's, be like, you know, I just want to learn. I want to be willing to learn.
It's true. And there's nothing wrong with having strong feelings about something either. Really, it just comes down to how much you're dictating other people's existence. Right.
And if,
and that's, by and large, you know, I got a real problem with a lot of things in this world that a lot of people find a lot of joy in. So I'm welcome to hate that crap, and they're welcome to go enjoy it.
Right.
That's the other thing, is I think like we often are like, let people love things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, also let's let people hate things. I mean, to a certain degree, obviously there's discrimination. But for example, like I'm a big Marvel movie fan.
Yep.
Generally, we won't get into it lately, but
but
then I see people like, I can't stand it. I sit through that, and I'm like, I don't need to convince you to enjoy it. I always would rather like something than not, and I always want people to have a similar experience to me when something was positive.
Right,
but it'd be real boring if all we ever liked was all the same thing all the time.
That's so true. I mean, you know, and that's, I guess that's what I'm trying to do more is say, okay, think more like why does someone like that thing that I don't like? Mm-hmm. What is attractive about it?
Yeah.
At least let me understand it.
Yeah.
I might not change my feeling about it whatsoever, but like I hate mushrooms, for example,
yep.
But I know that they add a lot of flavor to things. You mm-hmm. know, I understand they're kind of meaty. They have a good, you know, like I get it. I understand why you like mushrooms and I don't like them.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know there's, and that's such an easy thing to not care about and not fight about. But that, like, people are like that with cultural stuff, like movies and stuff. They would get really upset.
Yeah.
Well, you can, like, end friendships sometimes over a movie opinion.
You can. And the internet, of course, obviously rewards
of course.
That sort of
rage
discussion.
Engagement.
I'll say, on the flip side of your mushrooms thing, you hate mushrooms and I love mushrooms, also... You love mushrooms, and I hate mushrooms.
I know, right?
So that's also true.
I do really like mushrooms, the drug.
So
I think we've gone through all the headlines that we had.
But there's more. So if you guys see something that catches your eye, makes you think of us, mm-hmm. like that makes us feel warm, so let us know. Shoot out a message. Tag us somewhere that you see a cool story, and we'll go take a look at it. We'll get it in here as well.
If you see something, say something.
Come on and party tonight. That one's for you, Larissa.
That was for you. My other B99 fans.
All right. Well, please, y'all, do send us your thoughts and stuff to our email address, RidicRomance@gmail.com.
Yep. Or we're on Instagram. I'm at DynamiteBoom.
I'm at, oh, great, it's Eli.
The show is at RidicRomance.
So hit us up. Let us know what you got. Thanks for listening. And we will catch you on the next episode.
Love you. Bye.
So long, friends. It's time to go. Thanks for listening to our show. Tell your friends, neighbors, uncles, and aunts to listen to our show, Ridiculous Romance.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.